This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Welcome home, everybody. Welcome, Ramadan. It already feels different, subhanAllah. I was at home, so we're trying to do like this this tradition as a family where we're together. And we're trying to get things set up for the welcoming of Ramadan. So I was at home. I only live a few minutes away. And when Maghrib came in, you know, the adhan went off. And I was teaching my kids that Ramadan starts at Maghrib, actually. It's when it comes in at nighttime. So I was like, guys, hurry up. And I called my son, Musa, and I was like, hey, Ramadan came in. He's like, what? He like hugged me. And then I tell my daughter, I was like, Ramadan came in. And she was eating a bag of Cheez-Its. And she looks up and she goes, ah! She just screams. Like this super excited moment, it's definitely palpable, subhanAllah. The it feels like just, I don't know, like a month ago or 2 weeks ago that we were finishing off Ramadan last year, and Allah Ta'ala is so kind that He has given us Ramadan again this year. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to act on it and the ability to take advantage of it and the ability to make this something that we are, alhamdulillah, you know, We create new memories, spiritual memories that we're proud of. Ya Rab, Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. You know, there's a hadith that I want to talk about tonight, just one hadith, to kind of center the conversation about Ramadan. But to begin, we first have to ask the question, how many of us feel unprepared for Ramadan? How many of us feel like we were caught off guard? That Ramadan appeared too quickly, and now we're trying to scramble to figure out how we're going to attain the spiritual growth, right? Me, for sure. You know, I feel that every year, that it's just, subhanAllah, no matter how much I try to prepare, I always feel like I'm just so busy, and I don't have time. I don't give myself the time to prepare in a way that's proper. But subhanAllah, one thing that I learned as I was preparing and reading and just kind of reflecting is that Ramadan is one of the only acts of worship, or the act of fasting and the acts that are associated with Ramadan. Ramadan is one of the only seasons of the life of a believer that is actually defined by taking things away instead of adding a lot of things. When a person prays, you have to make wudu, and you have to go and pray. It's the addition, it's an action, right? When a person goes for Hajj, there's a whole lot of things they have to do. When a person gives zakat, right, they have to go into their, they have to make money in order to give money away. But Ramadan is characterized by a person's ability to withhold and to hold themselves back. And there's one characteristic, generally, in all of the Islamic virtues. You know, we talk about like tawakkul, trusting in Allah. We talk about sidq, honesty and truthfulness. We talk about rifq, gentleness, lutf, right? This subtle gentleness. There's all these different beautiful traits that are found in the character of a Muslim and that are all at their highest level in the character of the Prophet ﷺ. But there's one trait in particular that really characterizes Ramadan for every believer. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said it in a hadith where he said, As-sawm nisfu sabr. Fasting is half of patience. Sabr. It's hard to define it because it doesn't only mean patience, because patience typically is like when you're just waiting, and you're waiting and you're not saying anything, you know, angry, you're not snapping, but you have this look on your face, maybe that you're upset, you're not happy, right? You're waiting in line for coffee right now, being patient. Everyone looked over there, everyone's nervous now. Okay? You are, sabr is not just the action or the inaction of just existing. Sabr is all about a state of reflection while you are not getting exactly what it is that you are hoping for or what you want. It's not just the absence of something, but it's the realizing during the absence. For example, many people stay away from food and drink. Many people intermittent fast. Many people on their diets stop eating at 8 p.m. and only start eating the next day at 11, right? The intermittent fasting regimen. But that fasting or that withholding is not accompanied by reflection. It's just for the sake of withholding, for calorie restriction. Whereas the fasting of a Muslim during the month of Ramadan and outside of that is a different kind of fasting. It's not defined by the hunger and the thirst. In fact, there are so many narrations where the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts but they're not able to hold their tongue from foul speech, and they're not able to hold themselves back from backbiting, and they're not able to do all these things, then the hadith says Allah is not in need of their hunger or their thirst. So our actions this month are not just the actions of an average person. Our giving up, our abstaining, our withholding is not just what everyone else does. It's with something that's unique, and that is, it is with the ability to reflect and to think and to realize why we're doing what we're doing. It's very different. So the Prophet ﷺ says that this ability to withhold, this ability to persevere and to reflect and realize in a state of waiting is something that fasting can particularly teach you. In fact, he says it's nisf, it's half of it. You will accomplish the goal, you will reach half of the goal of being a patient person if you can master this one action of fasting. Everybody has this like lengthy agenda of things they want to do in the month of Ramadan. How many of you are hoping to read the Quran in the month of Ramadan? How many of you are hoping to give more charity in the month of Ramadan? How many of you are hoping to read more, gain more knowledge in the month of Ramadan? How many of you are hoping to be better neighbors, to be good to your family? We can go on and on. The list is very long. I'm not telling you not to do those things. But what I'm saying is, we've characterized our behavior in this month by a marathon of how much we can do, instead of thinking to ourselves, okay, how much can I withhold from? What can I hold back? And we don't consider things a victory unless there's a feeling of accomplishment or a feeling of addition. But sabr is not a very exciting feeling. Nobody is patient and then goes home and is like, you know what I did today? I was patient. Like, you donate a lot of money, you're like, I give a lot of sadaqah, alhamdulillah. I prayed 20 rak'ah, alhamdulillah. I finished my khatam of Quran. No one on Eid is like, man, I was patient, Allahu Akbar. Because it's such a subtle accomplishment. But subhanAllah, the sunnah of Allah is that He puts a lot of weight and a lot of power in subtle things. Very subtle things. And so this idea of mastering yourself, this idea of being able to conquer yourself, of being able to control not just what you do, because a lot of people can control what they do. That's not impressive. But the Muslim works on being able to control how they feel while they withhold from what they want to do. How do you feel about it? When Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam is dealing with the loss of his son Yusuf, he doesn't just say, I'll bear patiently. He says, I'm going to do it beautifully. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'm going to deal with this beautifully. Because I can walk around all day for 30 days and complain about how hungry I am. How many of us have been guilty of that before? Anybody? We share with somebody how hungry we are? I have a challenge for you. I have a test for you. This month, if somebody asks you how the fast is going, especially at work, you have one of your coworkers, maybe they're not Muslim yet. That's on you, right? Bring them to Roots. But you're being asked, or you're being, hey, how's your fast going, Abdul? Instead of go, it's so easy. It's too easy to say what? Oh, so hard. So hard. When's the last time you ate? Oh, 4. Are you thirsty? That's the easy route. That's too easy. All right, like LeBron. That's too easy. What is actually more impressive is for the believer to say, yeah, you know, I'm staying away from food and drink, and it's not easy, but I'm doing good. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. Right? You'd be surprised. Kyle can be Muslim too, by the way. Just say, my dad's name is James, but you know, you'd be surprised. And then you know what that does? That it puts something like, wait, you haven't eaten or had anything to drink for 10 hours, 12 hours, and you're like, you're behaving more proper, more optimistic, more positive than me, and I don't have any restrictions right now. Why are you like this? Right? Why? Because my religion teaches me this skill, this muscle of sabr, of being a person that can bear with things patiently, beautifully, because I realize that there's khair in it. There's something good for me here. So I want to share with everybody, we have a Q&A, by the way, on Slido. Slido.com, if you type in welcome Ramadan is the code. We'll do some Q&A at the end, and then we'll make dua, and then we'll go over to the Musalla, brand new renovation, alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah. And we'll begin our first night of, we'll pray Isha and then begin our first night of Tarawih, inshallah. But I want to share with you some thoughts and reflections. There's an author by the name of Ibn Ata'illah Iskandari, rahimahullah, who's a very famous, well-known Egyptian scholar, classically in our history. And he has a book called The Hikam, The Wisdoms. And what he does is he takes these like very like large concepts with a lot of different, you know, statements and a lot of different ayat and ahadith, and he summarizes them in these beautiful points. He puts them in this like really nice, concise line. The first one that I want to share with you is for me. This one is for me, okay? Nafsi. I'm selfish right now. Why? Because I, every Ramadan, have a feeling, and you might share this feeling with me, I always feel like I am very undeserving of this month. I feel like Allah gives Ramadan, this noble, generous guest, shows up at my door every year, and I have been a neglectful host. I have not prepared. I have not prioritized. I could have done better. Yeah, you guys feel me? Everyone here is just judging me. You're like, no, we're good, actually. You are lame, right? I feel this way. And at some point, you start to question, like, am I really deserving of this? You know, and I look at my colleagues here, and I look at my friends here, and I look at other community members, and then I go on Instagram or TikTok, and I see all these people. Ramadan just came in. Maghrib just called, and they're like, I have 6 juz done. How'd you finish 6 juz? It's only been 20 minutes, you know? And you start to feel truly unworthy of this month. And then when you compare your list with the list of other people, and you say, I'm just barely above water. But I want us all to take one big principle away from this month, and that is that your Ramadan is not other people's Ramadans. What you do this month is not to be compared with anybody else. There is nowhere in the Quran, in the Hadith, where Allah said, and the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who does the most in Ramadan is the winner. There's nowhere. You can't find it. You can't find it. In fact, interestingly, the Prophet ﷺ set the threshold very actually attainable. He says, من صام رمضان ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts Ramadan, if they can, of course, medically, of course, and whoever stands and prays, he didn't even assign a number. He didn't even say, like, praise this much. Stands and prays. How much? As much as they can. Because everybody's different. I remember in college, we used to pray not just 8, not just 20. We used to pray so much. Why? Because we were single. We had no responsibilities. We had nothing. We were masjid hopping. You know, our classmates in college were doing bar crawls. We're doing masjid crawls. We're going from IFS to MCC to MEC, back to ICN, all these, Chicago. And we would end up like finishing, subhanAllah, you know, there was an imam that he, in the last 10 nights, he used to read 3 ajza, 3 juz every qiyam. We would pray behind him. That was us, right? SubhanAllah. I'm talking like a guy who used to be able to dunk. You know those guys who are like, I could dunk in college, you know? And then you get older, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, and you're like begging Allah, oh Allah, let me make it to Isha on time. Ya Rab, please. Right? Because why? Because the circumstances are different. If I look at my circumstances and compare it with somebody else, and I judge my success or failure based on that person's circumstances versus mine, I'm missing the whole point. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qama Ramadan," whoever stands and prays as much as they can. You know, for the sisters or for the brothers who have a baby and they're trying to figure it out and they feel like they can't figure out Ramadan, or for people that right now work is very tough, the economy is like stressing down on them, they just made it past one round of layoffs and they're looking over their shoulder. If you do what you can, this is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, من صام رمضان ومن قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا, with faith and with a source of self-accountability, that you actually derive the whole purpose of this month. غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Allah will forgive everything in your life up until that point from your sins. That's a winner. That's a person who's successful. Ramadan, you've won. So don't think to yourself that I have to do so much. So Ibn Ata'illah, he says, إِذَا فَتَحَ لَكَ وِجْهَةً مِنَ التَّعَرُّفِ فَلَا تُبَالِي مَعَهَا إِنْ قَلَّ عَمَلُكَ. He says, if Allah opens the door to you, if God opens the door to you, مِنَ التَّعَرُّفِ, meaning that Allah has opened your door to get to know you, to invite you in so that you can get to know Him, which is really what Ramadan is all about. Ramadan is putting the pause on everything else that's a distraction and is saying, for 1 month, just come to get to know Allah. Come to the masjid more. Come spend time in the house of Allah more. Come read more of the Quran. You're going to hear Quran this month. You're going to hear verses this month. I guarantee it. That you are going to be like, wow, that's the first time I ever heard that. That's the first time. And you're going to realize, much like when you sit with a friend and you learn something new about that person, and you're like, I've known you for so long. How did I not know this about you? You're allergic to shrimp? I could have sworn that we went to Red Lobster. You know, like, you know when you sit with someone you've known for a long time and something new pops up and you're like, wait a minute, what? That's how a lot of us feel in Ramadan with the Quran. Like, we're listening, we're reading, and we're like, I could have sworn that was a hadith. I could have sworn my grandma just made that up. That's actually in the Quran. And you're starting to what? Min ta'arufi. You're starting to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're coming closer. You know, the friend that you learned had that shrimp allergy or that shellfish allergy? What do you do the next day as a prank? You send him a picture of a shrimp. you know, or endless shrimp. You're like, hey, you want to go? Oh, I forgot. Because the more you learn, the closer you are. Or if you're not a jerk like me, if you learn, for example, that somebody, you didn't know that it was their birthday, then you send them a gift. So you come to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you realize, I didn't know that Allah loved this. I didn't know that Allah loved that. And then you start doing what you learned Allah loves. So he says, إِذَا فَتَحَ لَكَ وَجْهَةً مِنَ التَّعَرُّفِ فَلَا تُبَالِي مَعَهَا إِنْ قَلَّ عَمَلُكَ. In that moment, when Allah wants to get to know you and wants you to get to know Him, and Allah wants that relationship to get stronger, He says, فَلَا تُبَالِي. Do not become despondent. Sorry, I was an English major. Do not become depressed. Do not get, everyone just nodded their heads like, oh yeah, okay. Despondent. Siri, what does despondent mean? Do not become depressed. Do not give up hope. فَلَا تُبَالِي. إِنْ قَلَّ عَمَلُكَ. From the small amount of your deeds, your good deeds. Like when you meet someone that you really, really admire, you love, you're close to, and you realize that you have done nothing to deserve that relationship. Like the person shows up to you on your birthday and gives you something really nice, and you gave them a $5 gift card to 7-Eleven. And you're like, oh man, this is so embarrassing. I didn't do anything, you know? Or they threw you a surprise and all you did was send them a text a day late. Happy belated birthday. You feel outmatched, outdone. He says, don't feel that way with Allah. Do not feel that way with Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He opens the door for you to get to know Him, He doesn't want you to focus on yourself. He wants you to focus on Him. Focusing on yourself in this month, I'm so bad, I'm so this, I'm so that. You're missing the point. It's not about you. What's the worst thing in the world? When you go to somebody and they have a nice new thobe. Or sisters, they're wearing that new Vela watercolor. And you go to them and you compliment them. Hey, that's a really nice thobe, man. Mashallah, that's nice. That's nice Moroccan style. That's beautiful. See, he's doing a good job. He's nodding. He's like, thank you. He's like, please stop. The worst thing a person can do in that moment is to say what? No, this is ugly. I'm ugly. It makes you feel like what? Like you're complimenting them and they're like, no, 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 no. Please don't. No, no, no. I don't. This is. It's the worst thing because they're pushing away your love. You're trying to communicate that. You're trying to tell them. So Allah in this month is drawing us near to Him. And in that process of being drawn near, we're like, oh, Allah, I'm so bad. Allah knows how bad we are. You're not surprising anybody. Allah knows. But He's still pulling you close. What does that mean? He says, فَإِنَّهُ مَا فَتَحَهَا لَكَ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتَعَرَّفَ إِلَيْكَ. The reason why He's opening that door for you is not because He wants you to, you know, be mean to yourself and talk down to yourself and feel bad about yourself. Allah is not asking you to do anything in this month so that you can feel worse about yourself. He's asking you and He's obligating you to do things in this month so that maybe, just maybe, you can get to know Him more. And maybe after the month is over, you find out that you love Allah so much that you don't want it to be a one-month thing. That we don't want it to just be 30 days. We want this to go longer. Oh Allah, I want to know You more. I want to think of You not just 1 month, but I want to think of You all the time. Right? SubhanAllah. Another issue with patience in this month is the difficulty of dealing with the dunya. Ramadan is so tough, right? Because you start, it's like you're jumping, but you have this belt around your waist that is tied to like cement blocks. So you're trying to jump, but you're being held down by this weight. So you're coming to like Taraweeh and you're really excited. And then all of a sudden you get an email from your boss, urgent, meeting tomorrow morning. Oh God, right? or you come to a gathering like this, maybe you want to come and just be around people, be around Muslims, be in good company, get some coffee. The matcha is good. Get some matcha, hang out, and then something bad happens. Maybe you get a message from somebody or there's just some drama in your life and you're just like, every time I try to take one step forward, it's like the dunya pushes me two steps back. This is like a common thing that we feel every single time. And Ramadan, that doesn't stop. Ramadan is not like a special time where Allah suspends all difficult moments. Do you know what happened in the month of Ramadan? I know that we think of it from like the miraculous side. It was a miracle. But do you know what occurred in this month? The Battle of Badr. Did you know the Battle of Badr was, we think about it after the fact because, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So we're like, wow, angels coming down, victory, you know, defeating the kuffar, etc. Okay, great. But do you know that when that battle was launched, it was one of the most, it was so difficult for the Prophet to think about how it was going to be handled. He didn't know. They weren't prepared. They weren't equipped. They had nothing. They had just made it to Medina. Finally, a new home. Safety. Sanctuary. No more having to worry about the harassment, the bullying. We made it. And then all of a sudden, you find out that what? That Quraysh is coming. And not only are they coming, but they're coming three times the amount of people that we have. And the people we have are a collection of refugees and farmers from Yathrib. And the people that they have are warriors who are well-funded with weapons. So you can imagine how difficult that is. In the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan this happens. So Ramadan is not a month where all bad things in your life just stop. That's false. Those will keep happening. And some of them will be associated with finding parking. Some of them, no really, look, we can be honest. I've seen a lot of bad things happen when the food runs out at iftar. But I've also seen a lot of good things, alhamdulillah. You know, there are a lot of moments for us to fail and succeed when tough times happen. But Ibn Atta'illah says something very beautiful. He says, لا تستغرب وقوع الأقدار ما دمت في هذه الدار. He says, it's kind of like you have to flip the Arabic. So he says, مَا دُمْتَ فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ, as long as you live in this life, as long as you're here, لَا تَسْتَغْرِبْ وَكُوعِ الْإِقْدَارِ, do not be surprised by the existence of sorrow. Don't be shocked. Something bad happens, don't ask why. He says, just realize that question, why is this happening? Why? I'm fasting. While I'm fasting, you know, I'm reminding myself of my mom right now. We were kids. There was five of us, man. Five half Egyptian, half Irish kids. It's crazy work. In Ramadan is nuts. You got to feed all of them. And then, you know, everyone gets tired. Everyone gets exhausted. And when you're fasting, your temper can... And so there's times and moments where you say, in Ramadan, right? Fi Ramadan. My Rolodex, social media is like crazy, actually. It's a curse. Fi Ramadan, we deal with all of the difficult things that are there. Ibn Atta'illah says, why did you think they were going to stop? As long as you are here, get ready. Life is going to be tough. Life is going to be tough. It's just the way it is. There's going to be bad things. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be flat tires. You're going to get sick. Your job is going to be in question. Your friendships are going to end. You're going to have new friendships that you thought were going to last forever. Those aren't going to go. You're going to have proposals that you think are going to work out. They're not. Interviews that don't go your way. That's just the reality. But then he says, the way that you deal with this is what? Is sabr. You being patient, you having sabr, amidst the difficulty is the only correct response. There's no other correct response. Now, how do you give yourself this sabr? How do you give yourself this patience? He says, فَإِنَّهَا مَا أَبْرَزَتْ إِلَّا مَا هُوَ مُسْتَحِقٌ وَصْفِهَا وَوَاجِبُ نَعْتِهَا. He says, because if you think about it, every single thing that is created has to do what it was created to do. And the dunya was created to be a test. We are expecting this place to have no tests. We get upset. There's a trial, there's a test, we get angry. Why? Well, Allah Ta'ala says, لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We created you so we could see which one of you is going to be able to pass the test. So why would a person who knows Allah get frustrated when a test happens when that's exactly what Allah said was going to happen? Because that person doesn't have sabr. So Ramadan, right? As-sawmu nisfu as-sabr. Sawm, fasting, gives you half of this skill that you need. Something bad happens, you respond with sabr. What does sabr sound like? You say, well, alhamdulillah. Well, it could have been worse. Well, it's okay, we'll get there. It's okay, this will pass. These are statements that are filled with sabr. You know why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes things from you, like your food, like your drink, like all of this stuff, then, interestingly enough, it's almost a paradox. When bad things happen, you're like, you know what? I'm already hungry as it is. I'm already tired as it is. I'm already thirsty as it is. It's not going to get much worse. This is as bad as it's going to get. Allah will give me relief. He will give me something to get over this. And so Ibn Atta'illah, he says, this patience is the only answer that you can have. And you convince yourself of that by realizing that this is exactly where you are. Now, we'll do one more, and then we'll go to the Q&A. One of the ways that you can remind yourself of this patience during the test, during the calamity of this life, is to remind yourself who is putting you in it. For example, have any of you tried to fast outside of Ramadan before? Is it easier or harder? It's easier. Some people say it's easier. There's one guy. Can you make up everyone's fast? Right? It's not easy. Has anyone tried? Okay, let me put it this way. Not just outside of Ramadan. Has anyone had to fast for other than a religious reason? Like gotten surgery or something? Where they're like, okay, after midnight, you cannot eat anything. And you would think every Muslim is like, psh, no problem. But we're literally staring the clock down. 11:58. 11:59. Midnight. And then you're like, were they Eastern time, Central time? Which one? Can I do Pacific? Like, sir, we're going to have operation at 8 in the morning. You can't. It's like, ah. Even though, subhanAllah, think about it this way. How much do you really eat from midnight to 8 a.m.? But the idea of holding something back is so scary. It's so scary. Like, if I told you guys right now that for the next 20 minutes, everyone's cell phones will stop working. Some of you looked. That's weird. I don't have that kind of power here. I know, like, I teach and stuff. I don't have that kind of power. But you know what's crazy is that there have been many moments where for 20 minutes you didn't look at your phone. But the idea of not being in control is something that we struggle with. Okay? So Allah gives us a gift in the month of Ramadan. He takes things away. Yes, and that's hard. Absolutely. But you know what He does? He lets you know that He's the one that's taking it away. He tells you. How does He say? Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. In the Quran. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Right? Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. It has been prescribed for you this act of fasting. Just like it was for those who came before you, other religious nations, so that you might be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just knowing who's putting you in the difficult moment removes so much of the difficulty. Just knowing that. So we do that with fasting. We tell ourselves, I'm fasting because it's for Allah. It's for Allah. And that's why when a person gets angry when they're fasting, or when a person gets upset, they're supposed to say what? What's the phrase that the hadith tells us? Allahumma inni sa'im. It's like one of the, man, I get goosebumps just hearing myself say it, because when my mom used to say that, that used to mean that after Maghrib, you're going to get it. Ya Rab, Ya Rabbi, inni sa'im. And then this, the universal sign for you're going to get it. Right? You're going to get it. Like that, okay? After Maghrib. Not before, because I'm fasting. So, get a hug. She meant a hug, by the way, everybody. Okay, so. So, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala takes away something, and he tells you, I'm the one who took it away. Now, here's the trick. Are you ready for this? Everything that's taken away is taken away by Allah. And not just in Ramadan. Every day. Everything that's taken away. Every trial that you're put in. Every month, every week, every day, every hour is from Allah. So now, that same feeling of relief in Ramadan, knowing that the hunger and thirst is connected to Allah, can I feel that 6 months later when something didn't go the way that I wanted it to go? Can I feel that same relief? I missed my flight. I'm really upset. Can I tell myself in that terminal, in the airport, this is from Allah? Just like the fasting was from Allah, just like the hunger and the thirst is for Allah, this too is from Allah. And the people that are very close to Allah, they have mastered this. They'll be sick in a hospital bed and they'll say, this is from Allah. It doesn't mean that they love it, by the way. One of my teachers, Dr. Omar, I attended one of the readings of the hikam that he did in Chicago. He said something really beautiful. He said, you can hate the test while still loving the one who gave it to you. You can hate the drills while still loving your coach. You ever played sports? You know that. Your coach made you run suicides. You hate that, right? You guys know what that is? I realize we live in a different era. I apologize if anyone got triggered. It's when you run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's just, at the end, people are actually, you know, getting sick. Let's put it that way. And no one liked it. When the coach was like, all right, guys, we're running on the line. No one's like, yay. People quit the team if they couldn't handle it. But sometimes you look at the coach and you're like, this is a good coach. Allah Ta'ala told us that he did this to test us. So he says, لِيُخَفِّفْ أَلَمَ الْبَلَاءِ عَلَيْكَ عِلْمُكَ بِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الْمُبْلِي. To make the trials of your life a little bit lighter upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it known that he was the one, huwa al-mubli laka. He was the one who tested you. He's the one who puts you in there. He says, فَالَّذِي وَجَهْتَكَ مِنْهُ الْأَقْدَارُ هُوَ الَّذِي عَوَّدَكَ حُسْنُ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. He says, the one who you are faced with, meaning you have to deal with the fate from this one, is the one who also accustomed you to the fact that he is the one who chooses the best for you. The one who makes you deal with destiny also taught you that he will never choose something bad for you. Ramadan, you ready for this? If you were to write it on paper, if you were to say, fast from dawn till sunset, pray, charity, da-da-da-da, and you handed that to anybody who was not initiated into Ramadan, who didn't know it, just hand it to somebody who doesn't even know what Ramadan is. Say, could you do this for 30 days? Could you wake up at 4:50 a.m., not eat or drink until 6:30, then come to the mosque and stand and pray for this long and do that for 30 straight days? The person would say, no. Why would you do this to yourself? This is torture. The only reason why a group of people in the world, 2 billion of us, say this is beautiful, the only reason why you're walking around places and Muslims are starting to put up these cute little cards in the front of their lawns and do lights in their house and have these cute Ramadan decorations, you know why? Is because Allah promises you and I, this is good for us. If we didn't have that promise, we'd be like, why are we doing this again? You get that migraine, you miss that coffee on day 3, you're like, did anyone ever ask what the whole point of this was? Allah Ta'ala tells us, this is good for you. It changes you. And guess what? He doesn't just tell you, he shows you. And during the showing, during the exhibition, you see it, and subhanAllah, you come to believe what Allah Ta'ala has already taught you. And so he says, Understand that every trial that you're in, the gift of sabr is knowing that whoever puts you in it loves you enough to always choose the best for you. It may be patient, it may be difficult to be patient in the moment that is very tough, but the one who puts you in it loves you enough to take care of you through it. May Allah Ta'ala give us, inshallah, a beautiful Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to yield the sweetest harvest from this month and make this month a month of change and a month of refinement and rejuvenation. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Okay, we'll do a couple questions and then we'll make dua and then we'll head over to the musalla, inshallah. How to have khushu and salah and tarawih? I can't seem to no matter what, and I'm scared that none of my prayers count. Okay, so let's do one thing real quick first. Let's go from the end to the beginning. Number one, your prayers count. If you have wudu and you are appropriately dressed and you have determined which way to pray towards Mecca, your prayer has counted. Okay? We don't need to question the validity of our prayer based off of how concentrating we were. That's another level, true. But you cannot walk away from your prayer saying, I don't think that one counted. It counted. Your prayer will never be perfect. It will never ever reach the state of perfection. But you do what you can. You offer what you can. Now, when it comes to concentration, there are always going to be gaps. That is part of the process. But there's a couple of things that we learned from some scholars, Imam al-Ghazali and others, that they say a few things. Number one, the more you pray, the better you get at it. The more you actually do the whole thing of salah, the better you get at it. Because it's something that you perfect, you work on, you learn, you understand, you grow close to. It can become a method of tranquility, and even it can become a method of meditation for you, right? Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is, in what circumstance are you praying? Are you praying in a place and a time that's going to be very chaotic, very distracting? Do you choose to pray in a situation that you know is going to be something that you can't handle? Right? Or do you try to prepare yourself and put yourself in a place where you're praying in a way where you can succeed? Number three, and this is going to blow your mind. I don't think anyone's ever spoken about this statement before in this context. There's a statement that is a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, and I'm forgetting exactly which companion, but I remember reading this and it's authentic. Inshallah, I'll look it up and I'll post it, which companion said it. It's in Imam Ghazali's Ihya. He said that one of the companions used to lighten the prayer. And here, the word lighten means to shorten it, so that he could make sure that he was able to focus during the duration of the salah. See, sometimes we think like longer is better. If I want to have a better prayer, I need to pray longer. That's actually not true. Now, we also shouldn't speed through prayer, because that's what? That's being impatient with prayer. Like, whatever you're impatient about, it can wait. Adding 30 seconds or 60 seconds or, God forbid, 90 seconds to your salah is probably not going to change much in the grand scheme of things. Whatever you're rushing through, whatever message you're trying to get back to, that person can wait. So we do want to make sure we're not speeding through prayer, but at the same time, we don't need to automatically create the threshold that if I don't pray for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or four, no. There is quite possibly a person that could pray two rak'ah of tarawih sincerely, and they could potentially attain more reward than somebody who prays more because they were more invested in that prayer, right? But the goal is that we want to increase not just in quality, but also in quantity. So you want to grow in both sides of the spectrum. So what I would advise this person is, number one, don't ever, ever discount the fact that your prayer is accepted. Because Allah Ta'ala is generous. He's not expecting perfection. He never asked of that. He just asked for effort. That's it. Sincere effort. So as long as you're sincerely trying, putting effort in, then you have nothing to worry about. But there is a good opportunity this month to become better at prayer 5 times a day. If you struggle with 5 times a day, then try. If you struggle doing them on time, then try. If you struggle making wudu, or if you have this question, do I have wudu more than once a day? Then make wudu, right? Try. Put in more effort and you'll see the fruits of those effort. Allah never, ever, 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 ever lets effort go to waste. Ever. He says that. I will never let the good deeds of those who are muhsineen, I will never let it go to waste ever. So don't ever think to it for a second, it's just not working. No. Your effort will always be rewarded and recognized by Allah. Could be something that no one else notices, but Allah Ta'ala recognizes all of it. Okay. We'll do one or two more. If I have apologized to someone and they still hold a grudge, will my Ramadan be accepted? Yes, yes. People holding a grudge or people that are upset with you or people that you have maybe had a disagreement or a falling out with is not one of the things that invalidates your Ramadan or your Hajj, by the way. Hajj, the reason why people apologize and seek forgiveness is because it is one of the good etiquettes to do before entering into a state where you want to make sure that your du'as are accepted. You don't want to be on someone's book of, you know, their bad feelings if you want to go to a place where Allah Ta'ala is waiting for your du'as, because that person can petition against you. So the whole reason why people make apologies and they seek forgiveness before Hajj and Ramadan is because they want to make sure that their du'as are accepted. So your responsibility and my responsibility is to seek forgiveness, but you can't change the heart of a person. If a person's heart is set, it is what it is. Seek their forgiveness, make du'a. Don't also say, you have to forgive me. I asked you for forgiveness. That's not how that works, right? I apologize, now forgive me, right? No, that's not how that works, okay? Do your part. Ask Allah to make their heart soft, and may Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, reconcile between anyone. Okay, last one. Wow. There's so many questions. I can't even read them because then people are going to get upset if I don't answer it. Okay, I'll do this one. I'm not going to do the, can you brush your teeth with toothpaste while fasting? You can look that one up. Can you explain shaitan being locked away that happens in Ramadan? Yes. So there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says that in Ramadan, the shayateen, right, the evil influences amongst the jinn, right, amongst the devils, are locked up during this month. And the scholars have talked about, okay, what that means exactly. Does that mean that they are completely removed from, like, existence? What does that mean? Well, the term locked up, according to the Arab linguists, is an indication that their influence is limited. Like, if somebody is locked up, they can't roam around. They can't do the same thing that they can normally do. So the ulama have said that this means that the shayateen, their influence is heavily, heavily, heavily limited. So the next question would be, okay, then why do we still do bad things? And the answer to that question is because, number one, shaitan is not the reason why any of us do bad things in the first place. Shaitan is simply an accomplice, but we're the ones who actually do the action. So we have to own that. But the second thing, and this is really, subhanAllah, a deep, complex thought, but it's something that helps a lot of us, is that shaitan basically spends 11 months a year training us, like trying to influence us. And then for 1 month, he's locked up. So then the scholars say Ramadan is a very, very interesting time to see how effective was shaitan's influence on you. Like, if he's locked up during this month and you're still behaving in a certain type of way, then you have to realize, man, maybe this isn't because shaitan. Maybe this is because I have been playing into his plan this whole time and I've allowed him to do this. You know, in the circuses where they have the elephants walking in a circle, and I don't support this at all, by the way, but, you know, they have this, the way that they train that elephant to walk in that circle, that radius, is they put a chain around one of its legs, and then they place a spike in the middle of the circle, and that chain keeps it. So when it's walking, it's stuck in that circle. Do you understand? They train it. They let it walk for hours and hours and days. They torture it to be in that mode. And then when it's time to invite all of these guests in to come watch the circus, they just take the chain off. And the elephant keeps walking. Because why? Because the elephant believes that this is what I do. This is who I am. So Shaitan for 11 months just trains us. Tells you, this is who you are. You don't pray. This is who you are. You don't do this. This is who you are. You watch this stuff. That's who you are. And then for 1 month, he disappears. But we still keep doing exactly what we were told to do. Which is scary. But the opportunity is what? This is also the time for you to say, no, I don't do this. It's not me. Right? I'm different. I don't behave like this. And this is the chance that you gain that relationship with Allah that gives you that strength. May Allah Ta'ala give us, inshallah, the ability to practice this Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala allow us the ability to break from all of our shackles this Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala bring us closer to Him. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from drifting away from Him. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala allow these beautiful nights to be nights of reflection and realization. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make this month a month of reconciliation between our loved ones. May Allah Ta'ala make this month a month of mercy for us and forgiveness. And may Allah Ta'ala make this month a month where our names are written on the record of those who are saved from the fire of hell. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us His blessing this month. May Allah shower us with His blessing this month. May Allah put barakah in our health, in our time, in our wealth, in everything that we do and we touch. May Allah Ta'ala place barakah in it. May Allah accept every second of our day of fasting as a form of striving towards Him. May Allah Ta'ala accept every penny and dollar that we give in His way as a form of coming closer to Him. May Allah Ta'ala accept every minute of prayer, every moment, every movement in salah, whether we are perfect in our focus or whether we are not. May Allah Ta'ala accept it and overlook our shortcomings. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make this Ramadan a Ramadan that enlightens us, that enlivens us, and that gives us hope. May Allah Ta'ala make us those that truly have conviction in Him. And that believe in His promise and believe in His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just by word, but by action, not just by mind, but in our hearts. May Allah Ta'ala bring us closer to Him always. Never ever let us drift away or rebel from Him. Never let us resent or reject Him, but always allow us to find Him at the end of everything that we do. May Allah Ta'ala give us the hearts that always are illuminated and that illuminate the path for ourselves and others. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to see Him in every single thing that we do, to trust Him, to trust His plan. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to rely upon Him in moments where there is no explanation as to why something is happening. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to close our eyes at night and to realize that we are in His control. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to feel safe and to feel comforted knowing that He is our Rabb. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to be with our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to be reunited with all of our loved ones in Jannah, those that have yet to pass and those that have already passed. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to all be reunited despite our flaws, despite our imperfections. May Allah give us the highest level of paradise with the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and all of those who are with them. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, we ask You to accept from us this blessed month. O Allah, we ask You, O Allah, to accept all of the good deeds that we have yet to do. And we ask You to forgive us for all the deeds that we will not be able to do. Oh Allah, we ask You to make the Eid that we celebrate an Eid that is truly an Eid of liberation, an Eid of commemoration, and an Eid of coming closer to You, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask You in this month, our brothers and sisters in Gaza and in Sudan and in Syria and all over the world, the Uyghurs in China, Ya Allah, we ask You to give them comfort and relief, Ya Allah, like You've given to us. Oh Allah, we ask You to feed them like You fed us. Oh Allah, we ask You to give them warmth like You've given us warmth, Ya Allah. And health like You've given us health, and roofs over their heads like You've given us shelter, Ya Allah. We ask You, O Allah, to allow us to always remember them in our du'as and never to forget them, just like we never forget ourselves. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam taslima. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. Ramadan Mubarak again. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Inshallah, we'll be heading toward the Musalla now. The adhan for Isha will be in just about 5-6 minutes. And then we will be praying Isha at 8:15. Taraweeh will start roughly around 8:30. And we are going to be having, inshallah, tonight for the college students. So for those who are in college, 18 to 22, we have our first session of Ramadan nights tonight here after 8 rakat. After 20 rakat, Sheikh Abdul Nasser in the Musalla is starting his prophetic Ramadan series. And that's for everybody. So after 8 is for college students here. After 20 is for everybody in the Musalla with Sheikh Abdul Nasser. We're looking forward to seeing everybody. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.